I think my friend's girlfriend just recently went to a ball pit, like an adult ball pit in Brooklyn. No.
Oh, I've seen pictures of this. Light blue balls.
Oh, yes. Wait, yes. I have seen pictures of this, too. I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that.
Nope.
As a child, we were like, this is the best, because we didn't understand that there was, like, rancid germs and sweat, you know?
Subway feet.
No.
That just, like, gave me chills.
Yes, it was in someone's story. I saw someone's story.
Yes. Yeah. And blue ball. Story.
Now I'm ready for some wine after that.
You ready?
Yes. Sitting
on Sondheim while belting a Bordeaux, pairing the best wines and picking the next show. Here Broadway guests end up acting like loons. This you can find here on Tennis and Tunes. When Ben Bradley cries, what the fine guys, whether June's or moon. I simply turn to my favorite things, and they are all tennis and tunes.
Welcome to Tennis and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, Mom.
Hi, friends. Hi, Moms.
Hi.
Jimmy, I'm back in New York.
You're back in New York. You've been
I've been in New York this whole time. No, I haven't.
We don't.
We don't record ahead of time at all.
Constantly.
Friends, I am happy to be here in person with Jimmy, and I'm happy to be here.
It's so good.
What's been going on with you?
It's so good. You know what? I have been on a zero-waste journey.
Ooh. That is exciting, Jimmy.
It's been a lot of fun and a lot of exciting. So, like, I'm trying to...
Tell my mom what that means.
Okay. Mom. Like, and mom. My mom and Jessica's mom. It means I want to produce no waste. I want to throw nothing away by the end of 2019. So, easy enough is, like, grocery shopping. I use all my own containers. I don't buy anything that's packaged. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of like you go to the candy store and you can, like, scoop things. From the bins. That's exactly what I get flour. I get coffee that way. Mm-hmm. I get – there's actually at the Whole Foods you can, like – there's a spot where you can make your own peanut butter.
Make your own nut butter. Yes. I was just going to say.
They
need applesauce. The applesauce tip.
Right.
But you can make your own orange juice also.
Not in my Whole Foods.
A Whole Foods at Bryant Park.
Yes, okay. Bryant Park.
Done. So I do that.
See you there.
All of us making our own orange juice.
We're going to make a live orange juice. I've made my own dish soap.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it's easy. It's like I just like cut up a bunch of a bar of soap and then heated it up and dissolved it in water and with some soda.
Look at you. Jimmy, I'm so proud of you. That is awesome.
And then I made some pesto.
And then you made some pesto. There you go.
With the leftover
soap? No. With a leftover bar of soap, I made some pesto.
Some lye pesto.
It's disgusting. And I did.
But zero waste.
But zero waste. Did burn the corner of my mouth because lye. It's an acid, but zero waste. Upcycle. How are you?
I'm good. This semester is awesome. My kids are amazing.
Yeah.
I am making them actually perform in class. My non-major students.
Wow.
Have to perform.
That's the worst.
I'm that teacher.
I would hate you as a teacher.
Yep. Some of them do. Some of them love it, though. My summer nights groups are really excited.
What's your summer nights group?
Like they have to sing summer nights.
Okay,
from
Greece.
And it's going to be hilarious. So they have
to.
Exactly. So they have to come up and do a karaoke thing. And then I'm also teaching acting and dance this semester.
Awesome.
So it's all going great. I love it. I love being in Texas.
So you have no time to cut your hair. And so it's just
long, it's long and voluminous.
Luscious. Everyone, think of Mira. No, is it Mira from Brave? It's Mira from Brave.
Merida.
Merida.
Oh, that's
I think
good.
Mira is actually Mira.
And Mira?
Mira is Aquaman's wife and queen.
Jimmy loves
her. She has long red hair.
So. There you go. So Mira or Merida, I have that kind of hair right now, and it is amazing.
Marvelous.
You're dating Jason Momoa now, right?
Yes. Good. Yes. In my dreams. Yes.
Is he in Texas?
Yes. We live together.
It's great. Like
why do I get to go to Texas?
Yeah. For Jason Momoa.
Oh, no. Moms and friends, we have this amazing guest with us. Victoria Cave is here, and it's rocking it out in the studio. And we are going to talk about so many things Broadway, but before we get into it, I want to get into some wine.
All right.
So, Jimmy, tell us where this wine comes from.
I don't know why this joke is so funny to me. This wine is from Lodi or Lodi.
So one of the first wines that we did, I mispronounced
where this was from. Huge
we got in a big fight about it.
Way to start.
So I will always ask Jimmy to pronounce it since he is the true Californian in the room.
Are you a Californian?
I am. I'm from outside of San Francisco.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So we've had some times with some locations. So a little bit about this wine. We are drinking an Old Vine Zin from Maggio. M-A-G-G-I-O.
Maggio. Family vineyard. No, you don't have to say that.
This is the 2016 vintage. And we know that Zin is a big, bold grape, right? Just like the Who's Tommy.
Hello.
Which is what we're going to be talking about today.
It's going to have to be big and bold.
Yep. And a Zin is right on that track. So we're going to have this, even though it's like a medium body, it has a big, bold flavor. Mm-hmm. And when we want something going along that path, we have to choose a Zin. And this one is really incredible. Let's take a sniff.
I could smell it as soon as it was out of the bottle.
Get that like cedar in there.
Oh, just to let everybody know, from now on, for the rest of this podcast, I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to shut my ears off. So
great.
I already got the dumb part down.
So Maggio actually is one of the labels under Oak Ridge Winery. So if you are ever out, you might see some other labels that say Oak Ridge on them, and they're the same people that come up with this. And it says Old Vine on the bottle. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes forget what Old Vine means. And why does it say Old Vine? Why do we need to know that they're Old Vine?
I don't forget. I don't know.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
So here we go. So when vines are planted, it takes about 3 years for them to really start producing grapes.
Okay.
And good vines will grow and bloom and create good wine from the grapes for about 50 years. Mm. And then after 50 years, it becomes an old vine. It becomes designated pretty much everybody calls
kinda
it
like
an old
me.
Vine.
Yeah, once you're 50, you own
an old vine. So also good choice. You go on.
The great thing about
my mom has just put down the podcast and she's like, I'm not old. I'm a young 60-ish.
I still got it.
Yeah.
High cake. Yeah.
Yeah, my mom is Molly Shannon. I love
your mom.
She's kind of the best.
These old vines, they, once they are about over 50, they will start producing less amounts of grapes, but the grapes that they do produce are more highly concentrated. Mm. And so you actually get better flavor from an old vine because it's putting all of its concentration into a smaller yield.
A quality over quantity.
Sorry. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And why you find a lot of these bottles.
Harder,
exactly. Right? That's what these vines learned.
And 50-year-old.
Yes.
They're producing the good stuff.
That's right.
My mom has started to listen to the podcast again.
Your mom's like, after that 15-second fast forward button. These old vine zins are usually a little bit less expensive. So we see a lot of bottles that say Old Wine Zin on the front that are actually $10-$11. And when you look for wine, you're like, that looks like a great price. Mm-hmm. It's because a lot of the vines in California that were originally planted in, say, the 1940s when a lot of these wineries were popping up are now old vines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we're getting things for a really good price point.
Okay. Because sometimes, like, made the mistake of doing a 2-for-20 deal recently of wines, and they did not sit well.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and taste this and see if this was a good choice or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely a good choice. Mm. Here's the thing. If it's $10 by itself, it's a good choice. If you're getting it, if it's 2-for-20,
isn't it great?
Bad choice.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. It is, like, really smooth. It doesn't have the acidity that you associate with a big, bold gin. Sometimes it can be really acidic and have that, like, layer on your tongue and on your mouth. This is super smooth. We get boysenberry. We get black cherry. We get that cedar, that smoky flavor, some caramel in there.
But nothing is overpowering the other person. Mm-hmm. Like, I do love a smoky, smoky red, but it's, like, sometimes it can be overpowering. This is just enough.
It's just right because the other ones are strong enough to hold it.
Right.
I don't know if that's the language you speak when you're talking about wine, but it feels like everything else, the supporting characters, if you will, they're strong.
Yeah.
It's a strong ensemble.
I love that. It's a strong ensemble wine. Yes.
Speaking of strong ensemble.
Well, Victoria, I want to hear about your story. Good. I want to hear, I want to go back to the beginning. How did you get into musical theater? What was it like?
Well, my parents were in the arts. Mm-hmm. My mother was a dancer.
Oh, cool.
And my father was a musician. Mm-hmm. My mom was also a Playboy bunny, which is a fun fact.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And so, they met at the Playboy Club. And they had me. And I put on my mom's skirts up to my armpits and danced around and begged to dance all my life. But then,
same.
I had, yes, I mean, same. We could all say
not
that,
the
right?
Playboy bunny part, but everything else.
But I bet you have a good dip, which,
bunny
dip. But yeah, I had not been living in New York very long. I wasn't planning on doing musical theater, actually.
Yeah.
I had a girl band.
Yes.
We were called the Outskirts.
That's so cute. Yeah. I love that.
We tried to be like,
and you put up your skirts up here.
Yeah, our skirts up to our armpits.
We just wrapped the fuck out.
That's right. The same skirts.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Dope.
But anyway, there were four of us girls. We were kind of like the United Colors of Benetton.
Yes.
Like the rainbow. Mm-hmm. And it was a really good band, I think. And anyway, one of the girls in the band said, oh, they're auditioning for Tommy. You should go. And I thought, well, I do like rock and roll, so maybe that's something I could do.
There you go.
So that's kind of how it happened.
Awesome.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so the Who's Tommy was your first Broadway show.
Yes.
But you did other stuff beyond that as well, right?
I did.
So you were a part of Cabaret.
Yep. I did Cabaret. I did The Boy from Oz.
I love Boy from Oz. It's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah,
and
it was really
of course
good.
Cabaret with Penny.
Yes. That is amazing to me.
Right.
I mean,
so I work with Penny, who we both know. She's on my faculty at
GCU.
Shut
up.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's so fun. That she's the best. So you auditioned for the show and what was that like?
100,000 times.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It was a very long, arduous audition process. They had many, 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 many callbacks.
Wow. Oh.
Like, so many, I had to get paid, at some point.
What?
Yeah, there was a ridiculous amount of callbacks.
And were they just looking, were they having you sing different things?
Yep. They were having us dance a lot, sing a lot, then sing from the show and, but it was a really special cast, and I think they really wanted, which became kind of the norm after Tommy.
Yeah.
But at the time, although I will say, Jesus Christ Superstar totally rocks. Tommy kind of rocked out in a way that I guess was different, and they wanted some different actors and whatever. So they were exploring all kinds and types and whatnot. So I guess they had to just put it together.
Right.
I don't know why it took
Here's a weird question, and it might not go anywhere, but I'm just so, was there ever a time, because, again, you're here to rock out, mm-hmm. you know, with your socks out.
I was going to say.
And and this musical theater isn't necessarily, like, a thing that you were thinking about.
Right.
So as these kind of, was there ever a time in the audition process, in the callback process, where you're just like, I'm out? Yeah. You're like, I'm done? Or, like, what kept you going? You know, I guess,
Well, you know, auditioning wasn't new to me. I had mm-hmm. done shows in Las Vegas, not musical shows, but
right.
yeah. production type
right.
shows.
Yeah.
So, but I would think, I think the minute I knew that I was going to do it and Pete Townsend was at the first audition, I was like, oh, I'm getting this job.
The first audition?
Yeah. That's incredible.
We give the casting director's assistant
like, to the assistant.
Right.
Bus boy. Right. Dog
was not the case.
Now.
No. This was not the case in the Tommy audition.
Wow.
Everybody was there from the get-go.
And did you do it on a stage? Or did
no.
you do it in a room?
In okay. rooms.
Yeah.
Yep, in a room, and I do remember my first audition. I'm like, I'm not going to sing a popular song. I'm going to sing something I wrote.
Shut up.
I was so odd. I was. They said to me later, we thought you were crazy. We thought
yeah.
you were legitimately insane.
Yeah.
I had these crazy platform boots for the dance call and a
yes.
bodysuit, and I had hair the color of that Santa outfit.
Yeah.
And and I had my own song, like, handwritten, like, note for note.
Yep.
The piano part written out.
What is it? Is it? It's not on the town. It's our town. Is it our town? Is it the Kevin Kline? Okay. Kevin Kline, fresh out of college,
yeah.
came to an audition, like, dressed head to toe
mm-hmm.
in the costume,
yep.
which is, like, a big no-no kind of nowadays. But he got the part.
Yeah.
And so you're the Tommy's.
Listen.
You're the Tommy's Kevin Kline.
You're the Tommy's Kevin Kline. You're the Tommy's Kevin Kline. All right.
Listen, it still worked for Cabaret. I wore lederhosen to that audition.
Yeah.
Getting that job.
Right? You do what you got to do.
All right. I'm wearing lederhosen to every audition. I don't care what it
don't
is.
Don't care what it is. And bring a suitcase. Those are also lucky.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes,
shows
yes.
The suitcases always do well.
That is amazing. So did you do the San Diego tryout?
I did not.
Okay.
I wish.
So it was, when it was auditioning in New York City, they'd already done San Diego.
Already done La Jolla, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
So I was really lucky in that I worked at La Jolla Playhouse.
I was wondering, yeah, I thought that was the connection.
When I lived in California.
Yeah.
And
oh, wow.
Dez is still there and still doing stuff. I mean,
oh,
his Diana
gosh.
Musical is coming out
Ooh.
Right now. And that's really, really cool that he's still creating art. And they
he's
are
brilliant.
So proud of the Who's Tommy still to this day. It is, like, everywhere because it's what established La Jolla.
Yes. It was a fantastic show. I mean, yeah. I think about it now, and there are things about it I didn't even get then or
right.
realize how
right.
hip it was. It was so hip.
Right.
It was so creative, mm-hmm. and the fact that it was left a bit to the audience's interpretation, just like an album would be.
Yes.
And it was, you know, conceptual and
yep, exactly.
groovy. The style of it was cool. It was just...
In a time also that, like, musical theater was ebbing, you know?
Mm. Not, it was going through a change.
Yeah, it was
90s.
Going through a change. But it wasn't, like, sort of, like, nowadays or in the 60s or differently, where it was, like, on the forefront of popular culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So
right.
Like,
certainly not like it is now. I mean,
no.
yeah.
oh my God.
Yeah. So to do something like that is to take a big risk.
Yeah.
I think. Isn't that how cool?
Well, yeah. just for my mom who does not know what we're talking about,
this podcast is for Jessica's mom.
It
and
really
mine
is.
As well.
Oh, and now for mine.
There you go.
It has become a podcast just for our moms and then the guest mom.
Yeah,
excellent.
So we had our moms on an episode.
Oh, my God.
Talking about Gypsy.
Oh,
it was hilarious.
It was the best. So we're going to
Can we Skype my mom?
Yeah, let's get your mom
excellent.
In.
Excellent.
So in 1993, the Who's Tommy came to Broadway, but I said that so strange, but it is based on the 1969 concept album. the Who's Tommy.
Right.
But it finally made the transition to the stage in 1993, directed by Des Makhnoff and then choreographed by Wayne Cilento.
Wayne Cilento,
who musical theater nerds might know him as the choreographer for Wicked, amongst many other things.
Yep. How to Succeed.
How to Succeed, yeah. And it won Tony Award for Best Choreography and Best Score. And it was nominated for a ton of Tonys as well. And it's a really, really cool story about a kid who watches his dad murder his mother's
I think it's
lover.
The other way around. I think it's the lover murders.
Nope. The dad comes home from the war and is, quick to go to his gun.
Yep. Right.
And murders his mother's lover.
And that sends Tommy into a state of being deaf and, they say, dumb, meaning mute, and blind.
Right.
Because he's told to keep a secret.
He's catatonic, yeah.
Yep. But he finds a release through a pinball machine and playing pinball. So that is for my mother, who has no clue what this story is about. And now she's going to be like, Jessica, I listened to that album in 69. Right. It's fine.
I know it. She saw Anne Margaret. Right? She saw Uncle Ernie.
She's like, I know it. She's like,
This episode is for my father right now.
Right on. Oh, it's for my brother. Yeah.
Right. He's going to dig it too. So tell us a little bit about some of your favorite moments in the show that you can think of.
Oh gosh, I mean the beginning.
Yeah.
The very beginning when the first guitar chord happened. We would watch through the curtains to watch the audience collectively jump out of their seat. And they really did every single night.
Because
the first like, and it was everybody. We had great sound design.
Yeah.
And so it was big and loud and
like being at a rock concert.
It was kind of like it wasn't quite that intense, but it was pretty intense.
Especially for Broadway, I'm
sure.
Yeah.
And band was great.
And
the band was
so good.
Were
they on stage?
Nope, they were underneath. And some of them were in the dressing rooms above. We had a string section. So we videoed, the conductor, and they watched. It wasn't a big enough pit for the whole band. So it was a big orchestra. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was really great.
Sanity.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool. And what about,
Like so many favorite moments.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like some of my favorite moments are like Pinball Wizard, of course.
Yeah,
how was the dancing in that?
Oh, it's just killer! Insane. It was fun. I still remember it. I literally
do it.
Still
yes.
I'm telling you, everyone who did Sensation remembers Sensation.
A new vibration from afar, you'll see me.
Mom in this audio podcast.
She's dancing.
I love it.
Get it.
I would totally. I would teach a class and teach a Tommy combo.
I would come and take that class.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Isle of Dogs.
Yes.
Slut dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Still remember it. Jitterbugs. Remember all the jitterbugs.
The Isle of Dogs slut dance. The Isle of Dogs now from Wes Anderson made a movie about it.
Wes Anderson's Isle of Dogs.
Is based off of the slut dance from the
I
want to
see
Tommy.
That. How did we not put that together before? Jeez.
I know that show can be rough on your body, especially. Did you find that you or your castmates were constantly having to deal with, like, injuries and vocal fatigue and things like that?
There was definitely vocal fatigue.
Yeah.
And we also had fog machines.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for Isle of Dogs, we had a lot of fog. There were some moments that for the effects, the lighting effects, we had fog. So some people had difficulty with that. Not everyone, but some. The men who jumped from that's a fantastic moment in the beginning of the show. The men are jumping from the plane.
Yeah.
They're parachuting, so they jump through a hole in the stage.
Oh,
so actually, there was a I think there was a pretty serious accident in La Jolla.
Oh.
But, no, I mean, I think everybody was, not on a Spider-Man.
Right, right. we changed her because of serious accidents.
Yeah, but, you know, oh, I broke my arm.
Oh, yeah. What? That would be an injury.
And that's the last time I had hair this color. You can't see, but I used to have hair the beautiful red color of Jess, our host, and just 2 nights ago I went to this, and I'm having dire remorse.
It looks great.
Thanks.
It looks very natural.
Anyway, it is natural, and that's the problem.
Last time I had
this color, I had a broken arm, and I had ash hair, and I was very happy.
How did you break your arm?
Beginning jitterbug. I hope Todd Hunter's listening. Friend of mine in the show, swing in the show. We were both on at the same time. We had to do a jitterbug together.
Great.
Each jitterbug couple had its own choreography.
Oh, of course.
And this particular couple that we were both covering had a cartwheel over the knees.
Yep.
And, yeah, I'm over it now, but...
absolutely.
The boy needs to put his hands on the girl's waist inside the arms, not outside the arms, because if you put them outside the arms, then the arm goes over the other and it snaps.
Good to know.
Life lesson.
Jimmy.
Yep, writing things down. I am
if you're trying this at home.
I will.
Jimmy and I are trying it later.
I should stay for that.
I was all over the arms.
See, you thought over, and I'm telling you,
I
under.
I thought over.
And you thought.
All right. Have you seen Silk Stockings from Fred Astaire? It's all over the arms stuff.
Thank God I came over.
Thank you. You did.
So, but yeah, I don't remember. I'm old. I don't remember anything too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am sure that looking at Wayne's choreography later, you see bits and pieces of Tommy scattered into other works that he's done.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, that's from, okay, yes, I know that.
I do. And I want to add also,
yeah,
Wayne's choreography feels so good on your body.
Yes.
It just makes so much sense. It's like, yeah, this movement totally makes sense. And he would create accents.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would put them in the music afterwards.
Oh, that's cool.
So it became this, you know, this dynamic. And they all made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it kept a dance break exciting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't just a dance break. It was still a part of the story.
Oh, nothing in the show was just.
Yeah.
That's a Dez thing.
Yes.
And Wayne thing. Nothing was, what's the word? Extra. Like,
yeah,
it was all to serve the story, every movement,
right,
every look, every note. It was, oh, man, it just made it so good.
Right.
Because it could so easily just be a concert.
Right.
Here's a question, because you talked about, like, accents and about how Wayne would, choreograph and then they would add stuff.
I need a beat here. I need a pow here.
Well, that's so interesting. It's like, it's already technically, you might call it a jukebox musical, right?
Mm.
Or at the base tech, but there is already, like, a source material for it.
Mm-hmm.
So how, like... Was there a lot of changes to it? How was the process of putting it up on its feet?
By the time it got to Broadway, I think they had done a lot of work. But I think, if I think about what I know of the original album and then the movie of it, they definitely developed some things more.
Yeah.
Like the love relationship between the Walkers, the husband and wife.
Yes.
The child abuse portion with Uncle Ernie, that was actually a lot more explicit in the Broadway show and so powerful. And Paul Kandel was so good in that role.
And then the ending as well.
And then the ending also. Right.
Yeah.
And then they added back a song that I guess they had in before, where the two parents are wondering what to do with their kid and their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
After all we've been through, we can't be blamed. We've done all we can humanly do. It's a time to be tough, a time to be wise. We must stop chasing for dreams and recover our lives. I believe my own eyes. Though I've come to the end, for my patience is gone. When I'm done,
but yeah, it was definitely more humanized, I think, without sacrificing the cool album.
Right, and the following that the album had,
right.
And the people that
concept.
Knew the story from the album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does that answer your question?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think that it's really interesting about the ending, because the Broadway musical is the only one that has the ending that Tommy ends up telling his followers,
mm-hmm.
quote-unquote,
yeah.
to go and live life as themselves,
mm-hmm.
rather than the original concept, which was you have to become deaf, dumb, and blind
right.
in order to mm-hmm. live like me.
Right.
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 And
because, yeah.
Yeah. And it's the only one where he reconciles with his family.
Mm.
And there was a lot of pushback I heard from people that were like, why are you trying to make this family friendly?
Mm. And yeah, I don't think that was the point.
Right.
I think the point was the value of growth and forgiveness.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
And how are you going to make this work now?
Yes.
You know?
Right.
And you asked me what a favorite moment in
yeah.
the show was, and certainly Sally's question.
Can we be a small part of your being? Why do you seem so alive when you're near? Tell us now, how can we be more like you?
Why would you want to be more like me? For 15 years I was waiting for what you've already got.
What's that?
All this. In my dreams, I was seeing it, hearing it, feeling it. Those are the true miracles, and you have them already.
I don't understand.
The point is not for you to be more like me. The point is, I'm finally more like you.
Yes.
You know, when she asks, so Tommy has developed this group of followers, and he's a celebrity, and mm-hmm. he's doing concerts now, and he has an out-of-control concert, and there's his biggest fan jumps up on the stage, and she ends up getting pummeled by his security staff.
Right.
And so he realizes how out of control this all has become, and then he invites her to his home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big news. And that whole part was so
which
cool.
is a good idea, you know. Get your craziest fan right to your home.
And she basically asks him, how could we be more like you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
and
when
they
he
sing.
Has that moment. But that's a great
yeah.
moment.
Just that whole ending, I think, is
yeah.
really beautiful. And I think about all the musicals from that time that have been revived recently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw Miss Saigon. We see, I mean, Lion King is still on Broadway, mm-hmm. but it came out at a similar time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But there is going to be a revival, I hear, of it.
Wow, well, there's a movie with Beyonce. So.
I mean, Cabaret yeah. almost did that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait a minute. Did it close?
There's going to be, I don't know if you also know, there's a revival of the revival of Chicago happening soon.
Well, and that was happening, Secret Garden, they're Ooh. Working on right now, and that should come out soon. So Ooh. I am waiting for a Tommy revival.
Yeah.
I think
oh
that it
gosh.
Is time.
Mm-hmm.
We
yes.
have been looking at everything else. We haven't been looking at Tommy.
Right.
That's true.
I think it's time.
I'm down. Sign me up.
Right?
I'll be the minister's wife.
Yes!
Finally.
I think about all of these musicals that are on Broadway right now that I'm like, okay, it's not going to happen right now, but yeah. I am ready to play the mom in like 20
oh
years.
Oh my God, ready to play the mom. That's a whole series in itself.
Right?
Right?
A podcast
yes.
series?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I'm definitely ready for Mrs. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
for sure. You too.
What am I saying, minister's wife? Please.
Exactly. You got to be the star.
God.
Oh. Now that we've got some wine in us, we're gonna play games right now.
Games right now.
That was the Tommy version
yeah.
of that song.
sure gotta play games now.
I will admit, this one is hard.
I'm going to fail miserably, I already know.
You.
So
I haven't done.
I love that you've had more wine than me, maybe? Did you drink faster than me? Because I thought I was going to embarrass myself.
I always drink faster than anyone. That's my curse and my charm.
And your superpower.
That's why he's on the show.
And here's where we drink.
So we have a really fun trivia game about musicals, specifically.
It's a really fun trivia game. It's super hard.
It's super hard.
I love it.
Wait, let me get out my Google.
Yeah. Right. So it's specifically about musicals from the 1990s and 2000s.
Oh, my God. I'm going to embarrass myself.
No, not at all.
I'm really shamefully. Okay, whatever.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. So this one, to start off, this one is really hard, and I apologize.
Perfect.
So I'm going to give you four songs.
Okay.
Which of these songs that I list... from the 1994 concept CD of Jekyll and Hyde, actually made it into the Broadway production.
Okay.
And
I might have a fighting chance.
So remember that this song was on both the concept album and the Broadway show.
Okay.
Right.
So Murder, Murder, I Need to Know, Bring on the Men, Girls of the Night.
I don't care if it's the right answer. Bring on the Men.
Okay. Jimmy?
Murder, Murder, because that's the only song I know.
Murder, Murder is the correct response.
Oh, yes!
I guessed yours, the Bring on the Men, and I was wrong. And I was like, what? I got something wrong? I teach this for a living. I was very mad.
Wow.
So what's wrong about it, besides everything?
Murder, Murder was the only one that made it from the concept album to the show.
Which I guess my question should be,
yeah.
Was Bring on the Men a song at all?
It was on the concept album. Oh, it just didn't make it to Broadway.
Didn't make it to Broadway.
Yeah, okay. It left out three of the best songs from the album.
Wait, when was the original Jekyll and Hyde Broadway? Was
in 97?
Okay.
96,
that sounds
97.
About right.
Great.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Now That I've Seen Her is a song in Miss Saigon. But that was not the original name of it. Was the original name?
Oh, okay.
Oh, hold on one second. Was the original
on,
name?
Like, Reddit.
Here we
right
go.
Now.
No, I'm not. I'm not on Reddit. Room 317. Ooh. Ellen's Song.
Uh-huh.
Her or Me, or The Confrontation.
Fuck.
What's the original name of the song?
Now That I've Seen Her is the name of the song now. But it used to be something else.
I'm going to say the room one.
I'm going to say the room one, too.
Yeah.
That's what I guessed. And it's not right. Oh. It's Her or Me.
Everybody can go to hell.
Golly. Our answer's better.
Right?
I think that's more intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
But then
Tina,
I would have changed it.
Right. Tina Turner sang a song from Aida. On the pop album.
Ooh,
shut
was it
up.
Easy as Life, Elaborate Lives, My Strongest Suit, or The God Loves Nubia? Or
The God Strongest Loves. Suit.
Strongest suit.
Hell yes.
Is it The God Loves Nubia?
Easy as Life.
Come on.
What? Right? Can you imagine Tina Turner?
Well,
singing
she'd
Easy
make
as
it
Life?
Fabulous no matter what. And
can you?
I like thinking about it. I'm going to go listen to it.
Well, it will be on this episode right here.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm throwing it away.
That was so good.
Okay,
is that it?
In The Lion King, which is like the 90s musical of 90s musicals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starring Donald Glover and Beyonce.
And Beyonce Knowles.
Guys, can we just take a quick second and just be like, if Beyonce ever stars in a Broadway musical, would like New York like sink to the ground? Like, would it just like burn?
Here's what I'm thinking. So the Palace Theater is being redone and lifted right?
Yeah.
For this
yeah.
new building.
Right.
They're building this big skyscraper, the Times Square X building or something like that.
Yeah, for the X-Men. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Get it?
Yep, that.
Are you kidding me?
So they're lifting the Palace Theater and putting retail space
that's why
underneath.
That's why SpongeBob stopped, mm-hmm. closed, so they could... Yeah.
So I'm thinking that Beyonce is going to perform in the Palace Theater when it reopens. Because Judy Garland, that was her place.
Oh.
And so now our modern-day Judy Garland, I feel like, is Beyonce.
You do?
Our modern-day Judy
Let's
Garland
talk about that.
Is Beyonce
what?
Knowles?
If anyone is going to have a theater that's like their theater, it would be Beyonce, right?
I thought you were talking about a tragic figure
no!
who was just eating and drinking upwards
and cross drug on
right.
Las Vegas Boulevard.
And just like right. has to be pushed away from her husband who can't collaborate
no!
anymore.
But think about the crowds that Judy Garland would bring in.
Right.
And look yeah. at Beyonce.
Look at Beyonce.
And, yeah.
That is an interesting analogy.
I think it'd be neat.
Okay,
neat.
I think it would. The theater would burn down to the ground for as many people
After
trying to cry to get in.
Yeah, that is true.
You know,
I mean, she can sell out like the Barclays Center.
Yeah,
so the Palace Theater is a little tiny.
Yeah.
So from The Lion King, which of these songs was not a part of the original animated film? Circle of Life, King of Pride Rock, Endless Night, Be Prepared.
What was the second one?
King of Pride Rock.
King of...
I'm going to say King of Pride Rock.
I'm going to say King of Pride Rock, too. Thank you for making me brave.
Endless Night.
Endless Night.
Back! What is Endless Night?
You promised you'd be there whenever I needed you, whenever I called your name.
What is King of Pride Rock?
I don't know.
So like Fraggle Rock only?
Right. I only
Welcome
know Endless
to
Night because...
King of Pride Rock. King of Pride Rock.
I'm thinking something like that.
I just wanted to be Simba when I was like 6.
We all wanted to be Simba when we were 6 because we all wanted to be Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
That is also true. And I just learned all the Simba songs from the musical because that was the first... CD or not even CD, cassette tape that I got of a Broadway show. Lion King.
First CD I ever bought was Aladdin, the original soundtrack.
Oh my goodness.
Not the Broadway, but.
First record was My Fair Lady. I listened to that every night before I went to bed.
The Laura Benanti one?
Yeah. Yes, I'm stretching out my 11 lines in case you can't see me. The Rex Harrison.
Oh, it's so good. Right? Yes, you're ready.
I'm a closet soprano.
Not
did you in the girl
anymore.
Group, did your girl, the outskirts, did you sing soprano when you did it? And if they did it, you should have.
I should have. Busted out with a little.
Yeah, what kind of band was it?
It was kind of alt-y, but R&B-ish.
Okay.
A little bit rock and roll.
It's like salt.
A little bit.
It's like Salt and Pepper had like guitars.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a little bit electronic.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't electronica, but it was. I don't know. It you know it defied genres, and so therefore we never got a deal.
Not at the time.
But
now.
It had Aiko Nakasone in it, who was later in Rent.
Yeah.
And. And, the other two
That's awesome,
beautiful
though.
Ladies did not continue in the musical theater vein. But,
we'll forgive them.
Aiko was awesome. And Aiko was the one who told me about the Tommy audition.
There you go.
And Michelle Asoff, who was our choreographer.
You had a choreographer?
We had a choreographer. Oh, girl, we had a chair dance. We had the whole... Oh, yes.
I know that this kind of, like, defies our, like, mission statement, but I would love to have a full episode just about the outskirts.
The outskirts are awesome.
That's a pair of wine with the outskirts.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have some
music?
Do you have some recordings?
Oh, I think I do. Yes.
Yes.
Done
with
done.
The chair dance.
With the do you have some YouTube videos?
You know, I think it was before the YouTubes.
Yeah, but a bunch of stuff was before the YouTubes, and they're still on.
That's true. Oh my gosh, there might be. I don't know.
Literally, how I teach my class is by going on YouTube.
Watch this. I'm going to go have a coffee.
Yeah.
A very quick forgetting
please.
Story.
Please.
Because it's in Tommy, so yes. I feel like it's a good segue.
Yeah, because I just talked about stories that had nothing to do with Tommy.
Because I'm going to try to bring it back to me.
All right, good.
Good.
Very quickly, one of my favorite moments, the mm-hmm. Sally question. I was a swing on the show, mm-hmm. and I was on for Sally. I was on for Sally a lot.
That's great.
Which was really fun. Also fun, you had to run through the pit. You had to run through the orchestra pit if you were Sally to like and climb over the bass player's lap.
Hey!
Oh, yeah. You don't have to do this right now. There's a clear path.
What are you doing later? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Bass players get all the dates, don't they? So I have to run through with this crazy platinum wig, which this is not. Anyway, big platinum. Oh, and the wig didn't fit me. So I had this enormous, I have a tiny head. It's almost as big as this microphone, but not quite. I'm kind of dwarfed by the microphone. But so I had this enormous wig, these white Pratt & Leather go-go boots that also were a little bit big. I'm running through. I get to the thing. I sing my crazy thing in the audience. Mm-hmm. That all goes well. I get up. I go up, climb up to the platform where Tommy is, get pushed off, do the whole fight scene. Every move, perfect, great. Get to Tommy's house. It's time for the question. And I say, how can we hum a hum? How can we? And I go on. How can we hum a hum? Feel so alive when you're near. Forgot every freaking word.
You're spending too much time with that bass player.
Here he is. Hey, what's going on? What are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the show? Oh, yeah. I got it. I'm good.
Meanwhile, my wig, and I wish I could remember the name of the character that everyone called me when I wore this wig because it was so enormous, and the hair is just like in my face. I look like an Ewok or some sort of weird, you know, Carol Channing Ewok.
I want that now. Oh.
That does sound good.
If anybody who's listening does drawings.
You do drawings, oh. Jimmy.
Good to and know. Good to know. Good to know.
Oh, man. But, I mean, everybody lost their minds. Everybody. And I have to admit that I was not always terribly professional when I did this show. And I regret it. And I learned to be more professional. But in this moment, I had gone up on every single word except the alive when you're near, and I couldn't even think of makeup words. Like, there's nothing. It was nothing.
Right.
This crazy
total
way.
Total blackout.
Everyone turned upstage, and the shoulders were just bouncing. And Michael Cerveris was stone cold. First of all, wishing me dead. Yeah. And second, just carrying this whole insane right. beast on his shoulders.
Also
like,
full head of hair, right?
He was so fabulous. He was so fabulous. And I just looked at his, I looked deep into his eyes, like, help me.
Yep.
Help me. And he was there for me, even though he fucking hated my guts in that moment. I'm sure of it, because it was a nightmare. Anyway.
I love that.
I mean,
it's not just one word. It's not like...
No, it was the whole freaking
the whole
question.
Thing.
And the cameras. So this is the whole... They had an effect where they had actual cameras actually filming because it's supposed to be on the news.
Uh-huh.
And so it was. And then we had along the whole proscenium, there were screens, TV screens, like, I don't know, 50 TV screens. And so it was close up of my face. Of my face going, Amanda, Amanda. What the hell are you talking about?
We don't know this story.
We don't know
the crux
it.
Of the story.
What? What?
Just be more like you. That would be a disastrous world. If we were all just more like Sally in this moment. It's like, I'm so in the moment that I know exactly what we're talking about. Nope.
No clue.
Just, I know these notes go here, and these words are supposed to go with these notes.
I think that happens all the time.
It does.
You know, again, I won't, like, tell the whole story, but, like, I thought in our cats.
We did cats together.
And I did Skimble Shanks with the It's a Patter song,
right?
Oh,
my gosh, yes.
So,
oh, Lord.
You can't not know that song. There's no way to, like, come up from that. So I, like, was about to, like, pop up and start singing my song. I was like, I don't remember any single word. I don't remember a single word. And I was like, okay. And it was just muscle memory that just...
Mary's and dozy dozy and little lambsy dozy.
Right. Yes. I said the words correctly, but in my head I was like, I don't know what's happening at all right now. I don't know a single thing.
Unlike when I went on a cat.
Like when you went.
Uh-oh.
And
oh, good.
The Jenny Any Dots, who I was understudying, went out after the first
understudying
number.
Understudying is a strong term for what we were asked to do.
We were asked to understudy. Were we ever given understudy rehearsals?
Oh, no.
Never.
Oh.
So she goes out after the first number, but she still has Busta Rhymes Jones to sing. So I didn't actually know the number.
Oh, no.
Nobody still does.
No one knows what Busta Rhymes Jones is about.
Did that song make it to the show?
Right.
Right.
So I come out, and I had just finished doing Rumple Teaser, like actually working my ass off on stage.
Yeah.
And I come back in, and I'm like, Busta Rhymes Jones, not skin and bones. In fact, he's incredibly fat. Cheez-Its. Fat.
She brought on some Cheez-Its, too.
And the girls are, like, pushing me around the stage because I don't know where I'm going.
Oh, my God.
No idea. That was pretty terrible. And I went backstage and I told the girl and I was like, I don't care. You're coming back on. I don't
care. Grow up in this bucket.
Yeah.
Get back out there.
Right. This is not happening
right
now.
Put on these paws.
Yeah.
And that person is Emily Tucker.
Emily Tucker.
From our Shrek episode,
yep.
Which you can listen to
now. Yay.
Synergy.
Look at that. It felt like coming back.
The Who's Tommy.
The Who's
we're also playing
Tommy.
A game right now.
We were. It's fine. It was too hard.
No, we're done. We're done.
I mean, I can ask you two more questions.
Yeah, that's two more questions.
You can splice.
Yeah.
Oh, fix it in post.
It's fine.
As it were.
No,
my friend said that in common conversation the other night.
Well,
fix it in post?
You know all the entertainment people.
Yes, and this is another friend of mine from Tommy, actually, but we did the show in different places. She did the Canadian tour,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Which I assistant directed.
That's amazing.
And she's my best friend, and we met in that experience.
Mm-hmm.
She was the dance captain, and anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, we were out the other night with friends, and we had our waiter take our picture. And he's like, no, I just want to get closer. She's like, no, just, you know, you could just, we'll zoom in. We'll fix it in post. She actually said that.
I love her.
Which you can cut that part out. It's great.
No, I love it.
I love it. Can we
talk? And I love her too.
Can we talk about her assistant, your assistant directing?
Yes.
How was that? What was that like? How did you get to that position? And what was it like?
I think because I covered basically everything in the Broadway company of Tommy, all the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Germany and I did the same thing.
Was it in Hamburg?
It was in Offenbach.
Ah, Offenbach.
Very depressing suburb of Frankfurt.
Uh-huh.
In a theater that was built and we were the inaugural show.
That's
for
cool.
The theater.
Wow.
And it was amazing. There was a period of time where the crew worked for free.
Ooh.
Yep.
Okay.
They weren't getting paid, and they're like, we love this show. We are doing the show, and you will have a show. Yeah, it was great. And we were all suicidal, also.
You will have a show, and this is show now.
So, I think that I knew the show inside and out, backwards
totally.
And forwards, and so I was asked to assistant
direct with Lisa Portes, who was the associate director on the Broadway show.
That's so she incredible. Put up,
yeah, it was an all-lady creative team.
Yeah,
there.
Waitress, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you were the first. It happened in Canada.
Should I have said that? I probably shouldn't have said that.
No.
We can get it.
No, don't.
I really want to see Waitress. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yeah.
It's Sarah
with
so
Joey, much. With Joey Mack.
See, that's not my era, so I don't get it.
Oh.
And I thought maybe my niece would be interested, and she wasn't.
Oh, it was like after her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After her, before me, but I'm going to go by myself.
Oh, yeah, you definitely should. It's really, really worth
love
it.
Love Sarah Bareilles.
Does anyone remember, this is going back to our game, does anyone remember the Angela Webber show that came out in 1990? With songs like
Aspects of Love.
Yes, I didn't have to say this.
Love changes everything.
Yes, love
how do I know this?
I didn't know. The
I was having sex
queen.
With a lighting designer.
Oh,
hey, ho.
This is the best episode of Cannons and Tunes ever. And now it is our last. We can never go better than this. Tell us
yes, indeed.
Everything.
Oh, this is a good story. And I hope you're listening. Oh, yeah. So I moved to New York. I knew two people. I knew this guy, Tim Kent, who... Okay, so I was in Las Vegas. I was working on the Siegfried and Roy show.
Yes! That's awesome.
Yes. And my very best friend was... you know what? I can't remember what she was doing. She's a technician, a technical director of some sort on the show. And she said, you should really meet my friend Rick, who's a lighting designer, and he's really great. And so I met Rick, and... We went out. So I knew Rick Belzer when I moved here, and Tim Kent, who was a wardrobe master on Siegfried and Roy.
Good people to know.
Tim said, I have an apartment in New York. You should come. You should get out of this hellhole and come to New York. And I always wanted to, so I sold my car for $2,000, and I thought, I'll live here for 3 months. It'll be fun. And 29 years later,
right?
Here I am. Yeah.
But, you know, just like still on the fence about it.
I don't know. Every time I'm just like, really? Am I still doing this?
Every time the MTA is delayed, you're like, I can move.
Which is basically every day.
Right.
So every day I question it. Yeah. But yeah, I moved here knowing them. And but I think when Aspects, no, that was a different show that I saw some opening of Starlight Express in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Starlight Express.
Which I also saw in Yokohama. Just so weird.
Love it.
Because of this guy.
Right.
Rick Belzer. Rick Belzer. Lighting designer of these shows.
Look him up.
That look turned
him up.
Down Tommy.
Dumb. Yes.
Right. He was not nice to me, this man.
No. Okay. I'm calling him out.
So I'm calling him out.
Canceled.
Oh, my God.
But we are best friends, and we are getting an apartment together.
Totally.
Yes. Right?
Yes.
No.
Right?
Look,
he doesn't.
I have to really, really, really like you, and I don't like you that much. You're not nice.
No. No.
He was depending on his... Anyway, too much. Let's stop there.
Good question.
I think that's the best place to end this game. This game can't end any better than that.
Nope.
Where can people find you on social media?
Oh, gosh. Facebook.
Yeah.
I have a fan page, the neglected fan page on Facebook.
Awesome. Because you do cabarets from time to time.
I sing from time to time with various bands.
Yeah.
And,
what level, like how high are your skirts or pants in these when you were
six? Right under the armpit. Nothing has changed.
Good.
I
good
basically
to know.
Peaked when I was five and I stayed there.
You know what? You want to know an honest truth? I feel the same way. I feel the exact same way. It's all been downhill.
Oh, I have a MySpace page.
Yes, MySpace.
Yes.
Why is it MySpace? This is the perfect time for MySpace to make a comeback. MySpace,
oh, it is.
Hey, MySpace, it's like, hey, you know how like Facebook is like ruining our democracy?
Yeah.
Remember how MySpace never did that?
Exactly.
MySpace.
Thank you, MySpace music.
We didn't ruin democracy, and you got Ingrid Michaelson out of this. So.
It's true. It's true.
You know what? Now that we've talked about it,
totally viral. It's totally going to be a thing.
It's going to happen. Jimmy, where can people find you?
You can find me on my MySpace because I'm opening it back up. I loved MySpace so. I'm like, I love MySpace so much more than Facebook now. I loved it so much. If you can't find me on MySpace, you can find me on Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson, or you can find me on Instagram, which is a product of Facebook.
Hello.
At Jimmy Robertson. Jessica?
I don't even know if my MySpace still works. So I don't think you can find me there.
I don't know.
You can't get rid of it, Jessica, whether you like it or not.
It's true.
No. But here's the thing. Is MySpace still, like, up?
It is.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Shut your mouth.
If I Google myself, and feel free to Google me later. No, but if I Google, that's all I get is MySpace. It's powerful. We don't even know. But Jess, tell us where to find you.
You can find me on Instagram at jmhumphrey1 and on Twitter at jmhumphrey1. And you can follow the show, not on MySpace, because we were created after MySpace.
Right.
And so it's at Tannins and Tunes on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And you can email us at tannins and tunes@gmail.com. And you can leave a review. And when you leave a review, we will pair a wine with your username.
Ooh.
So that's super fun. And $1 will go towards fire relief in Napa Valley, which they are still in desperate need of right now.
Can I plug a quick thing, though, before?
Sure.
I would love to plug this. I'm not a part of it, but I just love it so much. This podcast of When Will I Play the Mother? Starring.
Nikki
and Jessica.
We're starting it next season.
Guys,
it's
so good. They just kind of like go through a list of plays and just like, can I play that, Mom? Maybe not.
I think so. Jess will maybe. Maybe not yet, and I'll be like, I'm old enough, and you're, you know, maybe.
Exactly, and then we can figure out, like, mother-daughter duos that we can play.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And then we'll, like, sing little bits from the show. It's going to be real cute.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Drop in right here. I loved that. That was so good. That's amazing.
Victoria, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
This was
awesome. Delightful.
Loved it.
You guys are
and
awesome.
Now, to end this podcast, we are all about to play some pinball. Let's go!
Ding, 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 ding. There were people shooting a film in the courtyard behind my building.
Oh, yeah.
There's like an arts alliance or something right behind me.
Cool.
It's really great. A lot of times they're like rehearsing out there and doing like improv work.
Yes.
But these bunch of old guys were shooting a fight scene. And one guy was just like, okay, I'm going to come up to you like this, and you're going to go like that, and you're going to. Every time they started to shoot the scene, some Blue Jay was like, like just relentlessly.
It's a bad angle.
It was like 5 hours of, okay, now you back up. I'm going to get here, and then and you come at me.
All right, good.
All right. Afternoon. Okay, sorry.
That's awesome.
Where were you?
That's the best.